Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today, I'm very excited to share with you hypnosis experiences. The guest who was scheduled today was unable to come, so I will spend this show with you teaching you ways that you can do hypnosis on your own at home. And perhaps you want to download this show so you can refer to it at other times. So typically when patients come to see me for work with hypnosis, I explain to them that hypnosis means using your imagination to help yourself. And you can help yourself in many different ways. You can calm yourself. You can reach into your subconscious and learn more about yourself. You can use imagery and hypnosis to help improve your skills, academic skills, athletic skills. There's really anything the mind can control, you can enhance with hypnosis and the hypnotic state. So the main thing people need to understand is all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So I don't do hypnosis to them. It's not mind control. And therefore, I teach people how to do hypnosis for themselves. And if you follow the instructions we're going to be doing later in the show, you will probably get into a hypnotic state. I should say that, and then you could do this on your own without listening to my voice. I should mention here that some people cannot visualize well, and that's a minority of people. And for those people, if we're talking about what might you see or hear, and you actually can't imagine what something might look like or sound like, you can imagine what it might be as opposed to what it is, and it works the same way. So typically I will teach people that hypnosis can involve words and imagery, and I provide a couple of demonstrations about how words and imagery work apart from each other, and then we put them together into hypnotic experience. By the way, what I'm telling you now is detailed in Chapter 6 of my book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, so if you want to reinforce what we're talking about today, you can see it in print. So to demonstrate how words work, I teach people about the power of positive self-talk. And we've talked a lot about this on this show, and a physical demonstration is always quite convincing. Now, it's a little bit hard to describe on radio, but I'll do my best. Again, it's re-described in Chapter 6. So to see how the power of words work, you want to find a partner who can help you. And the person who is demonstrating the power of words is asked to extend their arm parallel to the floor away from their body. And then let's say you're doing this with somebody else, so they've extended their arm, and then you will put your hand over their elbow or near their shoulder or closer to their hand. What you want to find is a place where you can push down as hard as you can, and you cannot pull down their hand or their arm. And so if you're much stronger than the other person, you might want to put your hand closer to the shoulder, and if you're much weaker than the other person, put your hand closer to their hand so that you have more torque, you have more ability to pull down their arm. But the first condition is to push down and they should be able to resist you. And then you have the other person who is trying to resist you say the words, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak. And then you push down again the same power as you did before, and typically their arm will go down. They become weak by saying so. And then you repeat the experiment, and you have them say, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. And typically then when you push down their arm, you are unable to lower it. They've become stronger. And then the question is posed, how does what you say affect how your body reacts? And the conclusion is that if you say you're weak, you become weak. If you say you're strong, you become strong, because your mind is still like a computer. What you tell it is what it does. And then I will ask my patient, and you can ask whoever you're demonstrating this with, what do you think might happen if you say, I'm not weak? Most people will guess that they'll remain strong. So you conduct the experiment, I'm not weak, I'm not weak, I'm not weak, and typically the arm will go down. You still become weak. Now, I should tell you that when mothers do this with their children, this often doesn't work. I don't know why. I think the mothers think the child's supposed to remain strong, and that thought helps the child remain strong. But except for mothers and children, typically when people say, I'm not weak, they become weak. And then we have a discussion. How does that work? And it works because the brain focuses on the word weak. And so the conclusion of this demonstration is people need to think about the power of their words with themselves and with others, because you can influence other people by using positive or negative words. And then we'll rehearse. So instead of saying, I'm anxious about an upcoming test, you might say, I want to remain calm and confident while I take the test. Or instead of saying, my stomach hurts, you might say, I would like my stomach to feel better. Instead of saying, I'm scared of this roller coaster ride or going to the dark, you might say, I want to be brave in this situation. What you say is what happens. And I tell people this is the weakest tool that I teach them. And yet for some people, it's transformative. I've seen patients who have been quite anxious, and when they tell themselves, I want to become calmer, they do. The people who respond dramatically to the power of positive words tend to be very suggestible, both suggestions from themselves and from others. So these are kind of people who, when they have a negative sports coach who yells at them and tells them they're no good, they internalize it and they start playing worse and worse. So again, this is not, it's not magic. If you say, I want $1 million, $1 million doesn't come down from the heavens. On the other hand, if you want to have $1 million, it's good to start with a thought that this is something you want, because if you don't go for it, you never will get it. I like to tell the story of my friend Lois after I demonstrate the power of positive words. And the story goes like this. Lois lives in Boston, and she came to visit me in La Jolla, where I live now. And I told her, I'm going to take you to a restaurant in La Jolla, but be forewarned, it's tough to find parking, because La Jolla is a tourist town, and parking spots are at a premium. And Lois said, well, it won't be tough. Wherever I go, there's always parking. I shrugged my shoulders. We went to La Jolla, and sure enough, there was parking everywhere, even in front of the restaurant. Lois went back to Boston. I was looking for parking in La Jolla, and my kid said, if only Aunt Lois was here, you'd find parking. So I said, Aunt Lois, help us find parking. And I found parking. And I said, wait a minute, how does this work? This must be an example of positive talk. So I've started going down to La Jolla and saying, I'm going to find parking. And now I find parking everywhere in front of the restaurants. We have a beach here called La Jolla Shores, which is a very large beach with an extremely small parking lot. It was summertime, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The beach was full. The parking lot was full. I'm with my kids. I say, watch this. I drive into the front of the parking lot. I say, I'm going to find parking. And a car pulls out and I park. How does this happen? This is the example of positive talk. And then I'll ask, well, how does that work? what's the scientific explanation and the non-scientific explanation? People will ponder that for a moment, but the scientific explanation is this. When I pause, I'm going to find parking. I am more patient. If I don't find it right away, I'll go around a second time to find it. When the parking lot appeared full, I went into the parking lot. If I was negative, I'd say, oh, it's full. I'm not going to waste my time looking for parking there. So by being positive, I give myself more chances to be successful. And that's true, of course, for people who are optimistic. They give themselves more chances to be successful. The non-scientific explanation for the power of positive talk is that when you think positivity and throw it out into the universe, you get it back. When you think negativity, you get it back. That's called karma. Now, it's not scientific because to be scientific, you'd have to be able to do a study to prove this. And how would you do the study? You'd have to read my mind to see what I'm thinking. And then you have to see if what I'm thinking affects the outcome. And since you can't read my mind, it's not a study that can be done. But that doesn't mean it's not true. I believe very, very much so in karma because I see it all the time. I use it all the time to help my patients and other cool things in life. Now, this discussion of positive talk is nothing new. This has been known for a long time. Henry Ford, the car manufacturer, said 100 years ago, he said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you are right. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you are right. How does that work? What you say is what happens. The Buddha taught 2,700 years ago. He said, what we think is what we become. What we think is what we become. And so when I teach people how to do positive talk, that's just a retelling of how it's been for many, many years. So that's positive talk. By the way, I sometimes like to quote the stage Yoda in this context. When people say things like, I'm going to go ahead and try what you suggest. And I say, no, don't try. Try is a negative word. Why is it negative? Because when you try something, you may or may not succeed. You leave room for failure. And if you think about it, when you said, I tried something in the past, you usually mean, I didn't succeed. So that's a word I don't use. I say what Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. Just do it. And then you'll either succeed really well or you'll succeed and learn something when it doesn't work out as well as you want. So erase try. That's a word not to use. So that's a demonstration of the power of words. I encourage you to use it. Check it out for yourself. The parking example, many people have used it and seen, wow, it really does work. The second thing I teach patients when I first meet them is the power of imagery. I'll tell you about a couple of demonstrations you can do. If you have somebody around you who is much bigger than you are, who can pick you up, you can do the first demonstration. Basically, what you do is you ask that person to stand behind you and pick you up, then put you down. And then you tell them, then you think about being really heavy. You think about maybe gluing your feet to the ground or having big lead balls tie to your ankles, and ask the other person to pick you up again. Typically, unless they're really strong, they will have a much harder time to pick you up. And then the second imagery is, imagine you're wearing a belt and 1,000 balloons are tied to the belt and carrying up in the air, like in the movie Up, balloons are carrying the house, in that movie that you may recall, and then ask them to pick you up again, and typically you'll be much easier to pick up. And then you might ask yourself, how does that work? How does what I imagine affect how my body feels to the other person? And I think the way it works is that when you imagine you're heavy, you lower your center of gravity and become limp without thinking about it, and you reverse the process when you're thinking light. So people are really amazed when they see how their images affect their body, and that's how we start talking to patients about, well, when you have a stomach ache, when you're stressed, you can see that a thought, a word you use, an image you use can affect your stomach. And people have like a dawning realization that how they think affects how they feel. Now, if you don't have somebody around you who's big and strong, there are other demonstrations of the power of imagery. So one example is stretch out your hands in front of you, again, parallel to the floor, and in one hand, imagine you holding a pail full of wet, heavy sand. And the other hand, imagine you holding strings to big helium balloons that are slowly rising to the air. And give this some time, and notice how the hand that's holding the bucket can become heavier and heavier, and the hand that's holding balloons can become lighter and lighter. And you can let the effect go on a long time, and the hands typically will spread out the big distance between the two arms. Now, not everyone can visualize so well, so if this doesn't work for you, that's okay. But if you wait sometimes, like a minute or two, you may get some effect, even if you're not really good at translating visualization into body changes. Another example of visualization affecting the body is holding the hands across one another, like not quite clasped together, but just like 3 or 4 inches apart. And imagine your hands are giant magnets that pull themselves together. And when you can imagine the magnets there, you'll notice that your hands can come closer and closer together. And the closer they come, the stronger the pull. And the stronger the pull, the closer they come until they can stick together really hard, just like real magnets. And if you're talking to somebody else doing this, you want to pace yourself based on how quickly they respond. Some people respond quickly, other people take a long time, but oftentimes you'll see the hands coming together by themselves. So it's key to allow this to happen, not to make it happen. And once the hands are stuck together, you can tell yourself or tell the other person who's doing this to keep the magnets there, and on the count of three, try to pull the hands apart. And you count to three, one, two, three, try to pull the hands apart. I use the word try here on purpose because I want the people to be able to fail doing this. So a minority of people can't separate their hands. Their hands are stuck, and the majority of people, their hands will be harder to pull apart than in a normal circumstance. And again, this is a demonstration of how imagery affects body. So that's the first lesson I typically give when I meet a person who wants to learn about hypnosis. I explain how words work and then how imagery works. And then another session, I teach them how to do hypnosis. I'm going to teach you right now, the listeners, how to do this. You can listen along. Make sure you're in a safe place. Make sure you're not driving a car while listening to this, because in school or in a job, you want to keep focused on what you're doing. But if you're in a comfortable place where you can relax, this is a good time to practice how to do hypnosis. And this exercise I'm about to go through with you is one of relaxation. And learning how to relax hypnosis is a major league experience that in my experience with patients, two-thirds of my medical patients, by learning how to relax, their symptoms improve, sometimes resolve. But two-thirds of the time, this is all they need to do to notice a significant improvement in their symptoms. And the reason for this is that I think anxiety and stress create worsening physical symptoms, even if the physical symptoms are from a physical illness, such as asthma or inflammatory bowel disease, even cancer, because the psychology plays a big part in how we present with our physical body. And when you learn to calm yourself, you notice improvement. Notice I'm not saying it's a miracle cure. You're not going to cure cancer with hypnosis, but you can certainly tolerate it better, as an example. There are symptoms that go away completely with hypnosis, but those symptoms tend to be the ones that were caused by a psychological problem in the first place. A common example is something called vocal cord dysfunction, where your vocal cords will come together and you can't breathe in. And people will come in and say, I'm really short of breath. I feel like there's a blockage in my neck. That typically is a psychologically driven symptom. It occurs when people get stressed. And when they learn to calm themselves, the symptom will resolve often after one session. So let me walk you through an exercise, hypnosis exercise, to relax. So what we're going to do is have you think about a relaxing, safe place. A place that you're comfortable at. It might be a place you've been to, a place you want to go to, even an imaginary place. And what we're going to do is I'm going to suggest to you that you can imagine being in that place, senses, and then as you imagine all your senses, we're going to relax from head to toe. And then once you're there, you get to pick a sign, a gesture, like making a fist or crossing your fingers. And you're going to tell yourself, whenever I make my sign, I can become this relaxed even when I'm not doing hypnosis. So we're coming up to a break. And so right after this break, we're going to do this exercise, hypnosis exercise, of how to relax in your favorite safe place. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Anbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterpointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. Today we're discussing some hypnosis experiences that you can use today. So we're going to do a relaxation exercise right now. Make sure you're in a safe place. Make sure you can relax. Do not do this while driving or at work or at school. Okay. So make yourself comfortable. And when you're ready, imagine going to your safe, relaxing place. And imagine what you might see there. What colors there might be. Are there people there? Are you in nature? Are there trees or mountains? Are you indoors? Is there a bed? And when you're ready, imagine what you might hear. Is there music? Sounds of nature? People laughing? And when you're ready, imagine what you might smell. Is it fragrance? Is it clean air? Is it from a flower? And then imagine what you might feel if you touched it. Being soft? Are they hard? Are they rough? Are they smooth? And then, what can you taste? It's good to bring some food along if you can. Is it sweet? Sour? Salty? And notice how the more you pay attention to your different senses, the more relaxed you can become, the more real the experience can be. And now I'm going to talk to you about relaxing even more. And you start off by relaxing your forehead and letting the relaxation spread to the muscles around your eyes, down to your cheeks and jaw, down to your neck and shoulders, arms and hands. And when you're ready, take in a deep breath, let it out slowly. Notice how your chest relaxes as you do that. And when you're ready, take in another deep breath, let it out slowly, and notice how your belly relaxes as you do that. And now let the relaxation spread to your back and down your legs to your feet and toes. Notice how relaxed you can become, how peaceful, calm, and comfortable you can be. Very calm, relaxed, tranquil, serene, in control, comfortable, happier. It's a great feeling. It's a feeling you can have any time you want. You can either return to this calm, safe place, or you can make your sign. So earlier I told you about picking a gesture that you can associate with relaxation. So make your sign now. Cross your fingers, make your fist, a chakra sign. Tell yourself, from now on, whenever I make this sign, I can become this relaxed, even when I'm not doing hypnosis. And now you can stay in this relaxed, calm state for as long as you want. You can be there for a minute, for an hour, for a year. Time has no meaning. It's like a dream you're in charge of. So it only takes a few moments in real time. And then, when you're ready to come back, you're going to tell yourself the following four things. If you practice this on your own, you can take as long as you want in this state, even 5 or 20 minutes. But these are the four things you tell yourself before you come back. First, you congratulate yourself for your great imagination. Second, you remind yourself to practice the hypnosis at least every day for 2 weeks, because hypnosis is a mind-body skill. The more you practice it, the better you get at it. Thirdly, remind yourself whenever you want to calm yourself without doing hypnosis to make your sign. And lastly, right now your mind is in a very open, suggestible state. You can give yourself good suggestions. And the more you tell them to yourself, the more they come true. For example, you might tell yourself, I like how I feel now, I'm going to feel this way the rest of the day. Or my symptom is going to become better. Or I'm going to become more confident. Or I'm going to have a great day tomorrow. One hypnosis practitioner said, every day, in every way, I'm becoming better and better. So make yourself good wishes. And once you've told yourself all the good things you need to hear, when the time is right, and you'll know exactly when that time is, then come back. So there, a simple hypnosis relaxation exercise that helps people deal with a lot of stress and a lot of physical symptoms that have resulted from the stress. Simply by practicing this relaxation. When you're doing hypnosis like this, your blood pressure typically decreases, your heart rate slows, your breathing slows, your cortisol level decreases. Cortisol is a hormone that increases with stress. So doing hypnosis, especially on a regular basis, is associated with physiological changes that are healing, that help people improve their health and maintain good health. And I have some patients who will do this exercise every day indefinitely. Patients with irritable bowel syndrome, for example, on average, after just doing relaxations for 3 weeks, their symptoms improve greatly, like 95%. Some people improve even faster, others don't improve as well. I mentioned vocal cord dysfunction earlier. That typically improves immediately. People with habit cough, that's a loud, obnoxious cough without a physical cause, typically, maybe 70% of the time, improve immediately. People with headaches tend to take longer, in my experience. Sometimes it takes months to improve. But they do also improve with regular use of relaxation. And yes, you can combine hypnosis with meditation. If you're a meditator, you can get in a hypnotic state and then do your meditation within hypnosis. So it's a very versatile tool. Remember, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and when you are healed as a result of hypnosis, you have healed yourself. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ron Unber.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, CenterPoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. Today we're experiencing hypnosis, and in this segment I'm going to teach you how to use hypnosis for a spiritual experience. So again, make sure you're in a safe place and a place that's good to do the hypnosis. Make yourself comfortable. And you start off by imagining laying down comfortably somewhere in nature. And imagine how that would feel, what you might hear, what you might smell, and what you might see. And as you lay there, you can find yourself at one with your surroundings. In the next few moments, we're going to take a trip in your imagination that will help you gain perspective about yourself and the world around you. Imagine telescoping back from wherever you are and looking at yourself from above as if you were sitting on a tall tree branch looking below. And then zoom back. And imagine seeing yourself from a very tall building. Way down below, you seem small. And zoom further back. And imagine looking at the spot where you are, but it's too small to make yourself out as you start seeing more of the earth. And when you look towards the horizon, you can see a curve. And scope even further back, maybe to the height of an airplane, look down at the earth and the green and the blue and the brown. And higher up, you can see the white of the clouds and the blue of the sky. And scope even further back to the highest levels of the atmosphere. Looking down, you can see the curved earth and above that the blackening, darkening sky with some stars. And further back, you can appreciate that this ball that is the earth, with its blue oceans, brown land, and some distant vegetation, white clouds. And further back, earth starts to appear as the size of a marble among the sea of stars. And further back, the earth appears as a dimly lit point of light among the inhabitants of our solar system. And further back, as our solar system merges with the galaxy. And further back, and you start to realize what a speck of dust we are on. What little import are the stressors that we deal with in our life, in this vastness of the universe. And realize that the power of the universe, the power that can be felt through each of us, is even vaster than what you are perceiving in this image of the galaxy. and at the universe. And as you start the slow descent back towards yourself, think about who you are, who can observe yourself from outside your body. Who's doing this observation? Think about how you are part of this vast universe. Think about how you can contain some of the knowledge and feeling and wisdom of our existence. As you come closer back to the solar system, back to Earth, back to be able to see some land features, you can retain the perspective you gained from this brief trip into reality. As you come back to the land masses, as you come back towards seeing man-made structures in the distance, closer and closer to your body, while retaining the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that you have gained. As you come back and see the trees and individual people, and there you are. There's your body and nature being peaceful. The closer you come to rejoining yourself, the more feeling of being whole and alive and peaceful and calm and tranquil and understanding that you can achieve more so than ever before. This is something you can carry with you from now on until tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow and beyond. The perspective that you can achieve with hypnosis can help you face challenges in life, put them into perspective, realize that they will pass, realize that within you is a part of this universe that you just visited in your imagination. Realize that you can tap into this part of yourself as needed. And realize that by so doing, you can have more power to overcome whatever challenges might face you. Be it challenges of the body, challenges of the mind, even challenges faced by our civilization or humanity, by learning to tap into the power of the universe, by learning that there is such a power, we can be emboldened to do right by ourselves, by the people around us, and by humanity as a whole. This is a perspective that you can gain by quieting your mind and letting you become more aware of what reality is. Reality is not what we see day to day. That's something our mind shows us. I believe there's a reality outside of what we are aware of, by looking, by hearing, by smelling. All those things are in our brain. We process that information in our brain, and it's what our mind chooses to show us. But what really is probably something that our brain cannot fully perceive, because after all, we're limited. We're human. By the thought that you might keep in mind is that your soul, the part of you that travels in your body, that animates you in this life, your soul is not human. Your soul is able to, these other aspects of reality that as humans we don't perceive. But the good news is, you can learn how to get in touch with your soul in a more direct way than just knowing it's there. And in our next segment, I'm going to teach you how to do that. This is Center Point with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com. Or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. Today we are teaching you some hypnosis experiences. I'm hoping many of you have actually done the hypnosis with me and have seen some of its power. I encourage you again to practice this when it's safe and become better and better at helping yourself. So as I mentioned in the last segment, I would like to teach you now how to get in touch with your inner self, with your subconscious, with your soul. Now, just to define some terms, the subconscious, to me, means the part of your mind that you're not always aware of. So that encompasses the part of your mind that controls your breathing and your heart and has knowledge that you may not have access to, shows you dreams. But the subconscious, in my worldview, also serves as a conduit to our soul. And our soul is the part of us that I believe exists forever or much longer than we do, and will, after we die, will continue. And likely will participate in maybe perhaps another life, reincarnated. I form my beliefs by listening to my patients' subconsciouses explain what they believe. And I'm going to teach you now how you can talk to your own subconscious / soul. So the basic idea to achieve this state of mind is to teach your conscious to park itself. Because your conscious self, has a lot of thoughts, says this can't be true, prove it to me, stuff like that. And that interferes with just hearing your inner self, your subconscious or soul. So you can park your conscious mind in so many ways. One way is to do the hypnosis exercise we did initially, which is just to go to a relaxing place. You can also park your conscious mind by going to an awesome place in nature and just let yourself experience awe and let your conscious mind just fix on the awesome view or the awesome sound. And then when your conscious mind is so affixed, you're more likely to hear your thoughts from your subconscious. Another way of doing this is to imagine a whiteboard. So picture a whiteboard, and once you have that image in your mind, ask your subconscious to write the word hello on it. And at some point, hello will appear. Now make sure you're not writing hello consciously on the board. Let it appear on its own. And then you can ask your subconscious, is it okay? Well, first you can say, am I speaking to my subconscious? Yes or no? And hopefully a yes appears. If a no appears, you can ask, can I speak to my subconscious? And if a no still appears, then maybe this is not the method for you. But generally, you'll get some yes at some point. Then you can ask, are you willing to help me? Typically, the subconscious will respond yes. If it responds no, don't despair. There might be reasons that it's saying no. So if it says no, you might ask, do you know how to help me? If it says no to that, then you have a subconscious that, you know, maybe you have a too complicated situation, maybe you need therapy, something like that. If it says yes, it knows how to help you, but it says no, I can't, I don't want to help you, you can ask yourself, do I want help? Sometimes you get an answer to no to that. Why don't people want help? Well, maybe they think they should solve it on their own. I think that's kind of funny because the subconscious is part of you, so on your own is not really just what the conscious brain can do. Or maybe the subconscious thinks you can solve this on your own, and part of life is learning how to solve things consciously. So, but typically the subconscious is, yes, I'm willing to help you. And then there's a few ways to go from there. You could ask yourself, for example, do you have any advice for me? And if it says yes, you can say, would you be willing to give me this advice? And if it says yes, you can say, go ahead. And then typically a thought or image will form in your mind. Now, if it says it has advice, but it doesn't want to give it to you, you might say, well, would you give it to me later? Hopefully it'll say yes. There are reasons that sometimes subconsciouses don't want to give advice right away. One reason might be that you're not ready to hear the advice, or you'll reject the advice, or it's too soon. So do very much respect yourself. If your inner self is not cooperative, it's probably to your benefit in some way. Another question you might ask your subconscious is there something bothering me of which I am unaware? Is there something bothering me of which I am unaware? And if it says yes to that, you might ask, can I find out what it is? And if it says yes to that, you can say, go ahead. The subconscious is quite literal, so notice if you say, like, you know what time it is, it might say yes. And then you have to say, well, can you tell me what time it is? Is it response in a literal way? You have to be careful how you phrase questions to your subconscious because, again, of a literal response. So if you phrase things vaguely, you might get vague or strange sounding answers. Now, if you want to get information from your soul, you can ask your subconscious, may I talk to my soul through me, through you? And then you can ask your soul questions if it says yes. You can ask all the big questions, you know, why is there war? Or, can I trust this person I just met? Or, will I succeed in this venture? Oftentimes, subconscious don't like to predict the future. I think the reason for that is that if you knew the future, it could change what you would do today. So, for example, if you said, will I live to be 90 years old and let's do 20? If subconscious says yes to that, you'll say, well, I'll just live a very dangerous life, very risky life, because it doesn't matter, I'll survive till 90. But that's probably not a good idea. Or if you say, your subconscious says, well, you're only going to live another year, you might plunge into depression. So the subconscious tends not to want to tell the future. And so I'm asking such questions. But do explore your subconscious. In my book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, I give more examples of interaction with the subconscious. And I will tell you I'm working on another book right now which will just focus on the subconscious. But you'll hear more about this in a number of years once the book is ready to be published. I hope that the examples I gave today help improve your life. I would love to hear feedback from those of you who found benefit from learning how to calm yourself, attain a spiritual perspective, and interact with your subconscious and soul. I wish for you all an excellent week. This is Center Point with Dr. Ron Unbar. Thank you.